Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
We're going to look right to the Word this morning because today is one of those days God just wants to do some things. The things that he wants to do correspond with our life that is meant to be more, to have more, to receive more of what Jesus has done. I don't know how to describe it other than there is a law of liberty in the scripture that if we obey that law of liberty, we should increase in liberty as we go, not deal with more issues and problems. The law of liberty requires that you're willing to fight the fight of faith to get out of any kind of hole that the world, the enemy, your own decisions may have put you in. We get in trouble, we get in bondage, we get in a hole, we get held back, sometimes by our doing, sometimes just because the enemy is trying to take away something God has for us in our lives. So when people respond to the word and come to the altar, you will never be able to figure out what got somebody in the situation that they're in. There is a devil. That's all you need to know. Whenever you observe God moving in your own life, rather than get bent out of shape over the problem, shift your focus on the Lord Jesus and magnify him, and the problem and the enemy will become increasingly dim, is what the scripture says, or it's diminished. Whatever we choose to magnify, and in this case, whomever we choose to magnify, will cause a vision to be before us, and we will tend to move into that vision. You have an inward being called your spirit. Scripture teaches, and I'll keep saying this through this year, your spirit inside of you is the candle of God to illuminate your way. In other words, God works with you from the inside. He speaks to you on the inside. The enemy comes against you from the outside. He cannot invade that space where God is. So today, during the word, you might identify, I need that. I want that. That's for me. That's a point of need, but that is not God's point of contact. When we get done sharing the word today, the point of contact will be faith in the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I preach a Jesus that doesn't change, and I am committed to that. As long as I breathe in the earth, I'm going to preach the same Jesus that I met when I was 10 years old as a kid. He is the same. Scripture says in Hebrews 13:8, he never changes. He was the same yesterday as he is today, and he'll always be the same. I believe that if he's the same, he still does the same things. He still does the same things by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came into the earth, he operated in the authority of the Heavenly Father because the Holy Spirit, who is God with us, was also God with him. Today, the Holy Spirit is God with us, and he's already here. He already has some things in mind. He's already declaring and decreeing what they will be, that liberty, that is the joy of living in freedom, is going to increase in your life for your family first. And I want you to begin to think about that and say that in your homes. And you say, well, why would I say it? Because that elevates the plan and purpose of God. That puts the plan and purpose of God. It charges the atmosphere with faith for the plan and purpose of God, for things to not go in a wrong direction, but to go in a right direction. And it will seem as though to you, little things suddenly add up to a big deal. And you go, wow, we are in a better position than we used to be. Things don't just happen because the preacher says it with passion. When I say something with passion, it is to plant the seed of God in your heart. But then you have to choose to be a doer of that word to reap the benefits. Today's one of those days. It's as though God's gonna hit, thinking of baseball right now, get a good enough hit to put you on base just right here today. But you're going to have to run. You're going to run the bases. You're going to have to decide to invest in what Jesus says to do to lift the name of Jesus higher. We're living in a world that is diminishing the gospel. Many preachers have become a part of that, where they are preaching a different Jesus than the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know gets all up in my business as soon as I invite him to. He is not so rude as to push his way in. The Holy Spirit kind of tickles us on the inside. Hey, that fits you. Hey, you want to get that. Hey, you want to believe that. Hey, you want to do that. And then we have to choose to yield to that same Jesus. He's not going to dummy himself down for people who want him to be dummy down. He's the same Jesus. He's bold. He made proclamations of why he rose from the dead. He didn't do it so that someday in the sweet by and by when we get to heaven, things will be better. Thank God they'll be perfect there. But they're to be getting better while we're here. I just every so often I meditate on things like that and say, am I choosing to believe what God's word says about me to move me in a right direction? Now, I want to give you some keys today. The Holy Spirit governs our lives to increase liberty. He's all about that. I hear almost today a Holy Spirit, when I do hear him talked about, as just being the one that convicts us. That's his least favorite role in our life. His most favorite role is what comes after conviction, when we've been convinced. And we say, all right, God, I'm going to give you room. Let's do this thing together. Remember who the Holy Spirit is. He's not the overwhelming presence of God to take care of business for you. He's the one called alongside to help you take care of business. We carry the authority. God gave it to us, and the Holy Spirit helps us achieve the promises of God that we choose to believe. The Holy Spirit will govern in your life according to what you have to say about God's word. How you honor it, how you elevate it, how you esteem it. If you make God's word the highest authority in your life, you'll get the highest benefit. And the Holy Spirit is your helper. He cannot and will not touch anything in your life without you wanting him to and asking him to. That's why Jesus said, if you ask not, you're not going to have it. So we have to, if we want to receive, we have to ask believing, we have to thank him, and that's a picture of faith. The Holy Spirit is the one called alongside to see us navigate to exactly what we believe and exactly what we said. He wants to have a bigger place in your life to get you to God's blessing faster and more fully. I would say if anything's on the heart of God today, he would be disappointed that we don't allow him to do more in our life. Well, if God's disappointed at something like that, it means he's got something in mind to fix his disappointment. And if he's not disappointed, I won't be disappointed. Now, this is from Romans 8, very familiar passage of scripture, but I hear it taught every kind of way to Sunday, and I'm going to teach it according to what the word really means. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. In other words, we have something to do with the outcome of our interaction with the Holy Spirit. If we don't walk according to the Spirit, we will be in condemnation. But if we walk with the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, help me. Be my helper. Come alongside and help me achieve this in my life. Condemnation will lift, conviction will be realized, and we will be on a path for Jesus' righteousness. We'll be taking hold of it. That's how we stay condemnation free. I'm tired of hearing people say something about this verse that is not true. Oh, there's no condemnation. I'm going to live any way I want to. You live any way you want to, and you'll have condemnation because that's the way of the flesh. The way of the Spirit is, what does the Bible say? Now, I do hear people on the other side of the spectrum, full of religious spirits, saying things that aren't even in the Bible. Well, if you're going to please God, then you're going to obey these 25,000 rules. When I look at what the Holy Spirit does in the New Testament church when Jesus rose from the dead, he is the Spirit of liberty, but he's also the Spirit of truth. If you're going to get the liberty, you've got to embrace the truth. If you embrace the truth, you got to start walking with the Spirit of God. See, he's telling us there's two ways to walk, and you can cut your life up many different ways and walk with the Spirit of God in a few and walk in the flesh in some. But I would encourage you to understand, the more you choose to walk according to what God's word says, the freer you will become, the greater your life will have markers in it of God's blessing, the more you're going to see things change in a positive way. You say, well, why then am I having all the trouble? There is a devil. The devil works through the flesh. The devil can work through just being plain old tired. He can work through being too preoccupied. He can work through too many other things going on in life that we don't put God first. Walking with the Holy Spirit means I yield to Him by talking to Him and finding out, what's He want me to do? I believe He has a way. Scripture says that there's a way that seems right to a man, that way ends in destruction. It's talking about the way of the flesh. I want to encourage you, God has a way to empower your life by His Holy Spirit. It will not happen by passive interaction at church. It will not happen by occasional fellowship with the Lord. It will happen because you make Him your yoke fellow and you bring Him alongside and you say, you are sticking with me. And what do? You call Him alongside is what the Scripture says. When we call Him alongside, that's an activity. We are using our authority to say, God, you're going to be with me through today, and you are changing everything about me to increase in liberty. Understand, God's not out to increase bondage. The Bible is a book that leads to liberty if we read it, study it, interpret it by the Holy Spirit's help. Holy Spirit, help me apply this to my life. It increases liberty. So, well, Pastor, I know people want that, but it seems like they jockey back and forth. We've got too much flesh stuff going on. So we need to sometimes stop back and say, I'm going to make a significant investment in my relationship with the Holy Spirit of God because He is going to increase my liberty. And I can promise you, look at the Scripture. You will not find an occasion in the New Testament church that the Holy Spirit does not increase liberty. What does that mean? He gives us the desires of our heart because we listen to Him and do things His way. He wants His way, you know. That's why we've got to put Him first. If we want His best, we have to do life His way, and then we kind of discover what His best is. I don't think we always have in mind what it even is till we start to listen to Him and obey Him. Now, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life, he used the word law in the New Testament, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That means I don't get free of the works of the devil unless I embrace the other law. I have to embrace the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit of new life, the law of fellowship and yielding to the direction of the Holy Spirit of the God kind of life, the Holy Spirit of the life more abundant, the Holy Spirit of the healed life, the Holy Spirit of the restored life, the Holy Spirit of the full life to the overflow kind of life. I have to choose to displace the works of the enemy by embracing the higher law, the law of the Spirit of life in the anointed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means I have to embrace His anointed word and say, I'm going to let that get all over me and get down inside of me until it starts coming back out of my mouth. And I'm going to see then what God said the blessings of God would come to me instead of me pursuing them, instead of fellowshipping with Him, the person. That was better than your amen. What do? We sow to the word. When we get in a problem or get in a crisis or anticipate a season of difficulty, you're not going to successfully pray your way out. Prayer doesn't bring you out of a hole. It can be a part of the process. Depends what you're saying when you're praying. Are you praying the problem or praying God's word that's supercharged with supernatural power and ability to help you? See, we don't have it in our little knowledge base to pray our way out of anything unless we are using God's word. And God's word, how He prays us out of trouble is He prays the answer. He speaks the answer. He speaks the anointed solution. He speaks what will change our mind to think in a positive direction instead of praying the problem and thinking in the negative direction. I don't know if you've ever been down in a hole and tried to get up and you get three or four steps up and the mud slides you back down in the bottom. That's what happens when we're praying problems. We feel a little bit better while we're praying it, but we feel really lousy later in the day when we recognize I am down in this pit. It seems even deeper than I was before. That's despair. Despair is not liberty. Despair is evidence of not having liberty. So what do? We've got to get a hold of the Holy Spirit if we want the freedom and liberty. We can sing about it. We can sing about Him. We can do that all day long and not go anywhere. What do we have to do? Speak His word out of our mouth, because His word is the truth, and that word of truth is going to set us free from anything. From everything. I believe that. Why? Jesus doesn't change. If you don't believe that, I need to change your thinking today. He doesn't change. He is forever the same. Now, you say, where? Hebrews 13. Read it for yourself. Strong word that says, if there's a problem, it isn't on Jesus' part. It's on our part. Jesus didn't make it difficult for us to line up with His word. He said, if we believe it in our heart and speak it with our mouth, we can have whatsoever we say. Now, God is generous and good. He is not as concerned with the enemy messing with our life as He is concerned with us believing that God is good. The enemy, the devil, is defeated in God's eyes and should be defeated in our eyes. And when he doesn't seem to be, it's because we've let our eye be double instead of single. We've got a split focus. We've got a big devil over here and a kind of big God over here. And we go back and forth. And life becomes more like a roller coaster. What are we to do? Magnify the person in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we will begin to have faith to receive His power for whatever it is we have need of. This is James 1, and we're going to spend a little time in James, and then we've got one other verse outside of James. But we're in the New Testament today. God is generous, and God is good, and He says every good gift and every perfect gift. Well, that's an indication that there's more than one level. I have learned to like perfect better than good. There's good chocolate chip cookies. Many people make them. But there is perfect. Crispy on the edges, gooey in the middle, don't stick to the pan, not too thick, not too much leaven, and they're made with real butter, not some fake stuff. And in my book, a little extra when it says 2 cups of chocolate chips. Oh, just put 3 or the whole pack. You understand? So there's every good gift and every perfect gift, and we get to order up what we want with the confession of our mouth, because eventually we're going to believe what we're saying if we say it long enough. He says it's from above and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That means He's not going to change the way He sees things, does things, or says things. He said it. And it's a done deal. There's no variation with Him, neither shadow of turning. He's not going to change His mind a little bit later. His word is forever settled in heaven, and that is how it is. And we either believe it and get it or not. Now, when we're not getting it, I'm going to tell you a simple solution. We didn't really believe yet. I've learned for me to believe things that are hard to believe from the scripture. I've reprogrammed how I do things over many years. I start saying it out of my mouth. Many times I'll stand in front of the mirror and I'll say it right into the mirror. Why? God's word is like a looking glass, like a mirror, is what the scripture says here in James. I can look in it and I can hear it and forget about it, or I can look at it and remember I just spoke God's word, and what I'm seeing in the mirror is going to change by what I say, even if it didn't look like it yet. And some processes of change are a fight. You have an investment to make, some changes to make that will be God-ordained. And many of those we find in the scripture by just doing what the scripture says. Other things are just making good choices based on what we know. Now, God is always good and perfect. There's not a less standard with God than good. When you look for the will of God in Scripture, good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, I don't know about acceptable or good, but when we step over onto perfect, we have this moment where we've connected with heaven and we go, that was what God had in mind. He wants us to know Him like that. I've not met anybody alive that's known Him that way in everything. But I've seen some that seem to come really close. Because God is only going to move us into good And I believe good is the seed for perfect unless we settle for good. Think of it this way. Jesus died on the cross to provide you good and me good. We'll go to heaven forever with him. Then there's perfect. Perfect changes the way I'm going to experience life while I'm here. It's the cookie that I'm going to stand by the oven to get. Instead of, gee, that smells good, save me a couple, I'm going to wait and get it first. Just because I know perfect, everybody's going to try to eat up. If I want my share, I'm going to wait right there. And probably get me a little plate and put me a half a dozen and eat them as I go to the gym or wherever I'm going next. Now, verses 19 and 20 says, this is part of the process. Because we are new, we're new creatures, we have a new way of behavior, a new way of thinking. We're not who we used to be. Because we're new, let every man focus on himself. Let every person focus on developing this for themselves. Don't try to put it on your spouse or on somebody in the house or somebody down the street or somebody in the same row as you at church, but rather make this a personal connection with the Holy Spirit of God. Focus on yourselves. Be swift to hear. Hear what? Hear what God is saying. Be slow to speak. What does that mean? Keep your own thoughts to yourself. Slow to wrath. Don't get mad when things don't happen in your timetable. Don't get mad at other people when they're speaking God's word and you want to talk to them back. Well, you need to do such and such. See, we've got to be careful to recognize God doesn't want us to try to grow everybody else's faith focus. He wants us to grow our own. He wants us to recognize that this is a one-on-one thing. Nobody else is going to speak God into your life and God come but you. Everything you're going to receive from God happens the same way. The same way you accepted Jesus as Savior is the same way you're going to make him Lord of all. By believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus, confessing him out of your mouth, you'll be saved from trouble and saved into blessing. That's what that verse means. Now, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath how? Especially concerning God's word. I think that part of what happens today in a lot of word coming out is preachers are afraid to make somebody mad. Well, I don't intentionally want to make anybody mad, but if God's word makes them mad, that was God's word, not my word. I've just learned I gotta recognize I'm not peddling me, I'm presenting him. And I know in my life there have been times he had some strong things. And I could choose to believe the strong things and do what he says, or weakness would come into my life. See, if you want to live a strong gospel, you'll receive a strong word that makes you responsible. You'll say, you know, this really is going to be between Jesus and me. He left his Holy Spirit here in the earth to be with me all of the time, and he's watching out for me at the throne of grace. He's praying for me. How could I go wrong unless I don't honor him? Now, for the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. It won't do us any good to be mad about anything. Won't do you any good to say, well, I just don't agree with that. I heard pastor preaching. Go read your Bible. See if I'm telling you something that isn't just from the Bible. Because I'm really, really careful to not tell you what I think. I try to represent. This is God speaking. And I represent the Lord Jesus. And that's why he put me in the earth. So I want us to have the real deal that gives us a life not just free of condemnation. That is not enough. That's the byproduct. The condemnation goes when the liberty is restored. The condemnation goes after we get a hold of God by his Holy Spirit. Say, God, I'm receiving this into my life. That's what drives the condemnation away. I see in your word you want me to live this way. I'm going to do that come hell or high water, because both are coming when you see the word. When you see God's word and you put it in your mouth, both of those elements are going to come against you. Natural troubles and spiritual troubles. And what do? You say, I'm not a natural creature. I'm a supernatural creature. So whatever trouble is coming my way, I'm going to rise up above against it, because the Spirit of God's going to come in like a flood into my situation and bear me up. That's what the scripture says. But how does the Holy Spirit come in? We have to invite him in. We have to speak him in with our mouth. We don't just pray, Holy Spirit, come, and he comes. That's ridiculous. We are more responsible than that. He wants to not just come and be around us. He wants to be with us. In whatever the yoke is we're in, to pull us in the right direction, to navigate us into the will of God, into the blessing of God. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Kind of works like this. If something's not quite right and you call him and he comes alongside, you'll feel his nudge of what needs to change. And it's the response at that moment that takes us either into greater liberty and get rid of the condemnation, or we don't listen to him and we begin to feel condemned and we get mad at the people who told us the word. Understand where the enemy gets in. He gets in at unbelief. And unbelief usually is targeted to a person other than the one who's not believing. Well, they should have just told me in a sweet way. You'd have not done it in a sweet way. Why? Sometimes it comes across strong because God's trying to say, hey, pay attention. Why? He wants us to enjoy the full benefit of what Jesus has done. Now, faith requires a corresponding action on our part. In a little while, we're going to open up altar for a different kind of ministry today. It'll be prolonged. It will not be quick. If you're in a hurry to go, you'll just need to go. I'm going to pray one-on-one with people till whenever we're done. Why? When I was praying for the service, Holy Spirit, I said, we want to do whatever it is you want to do. He's told me more and more and increasingly we need to be about doing what he wants us to do rather than just saying a bunch of stuff. So what I'm saying is what he's about to do. All right? And that's just what ministry is going to look like today. Why? I've learned to do what he shows me to do. Just do it the way he says. Now, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Because hearers only will deceive themselves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man looking in the mirror. In other words, if we come in here and we hear the word and we decide I'm not going to do that, we leave in deception. Many times we hear the word and we walk away in deception because we think, well, I don't need that. That's not about, this is about every believer. All right? Now, this man looks in a mirror and sees himself, but he goes his own way and then right away forgets what manner of man he was according to God's word. See, what I tell you is what God's word says about you. That you're healed, that you're whole, that you're delivered, that you're prospering, that your family is coming together and in greater order all the time, that everything you set your hand to prospers and you have good success and the blessing of God will make you rich with no sorrow attached to it and you'll live all your days in the earth to fulfill the plan of God. And scripture says that can even be 120. See, you can either look in the mirror and say, yep, that's me, and know in your mind, I don't look like that man right now, but that's me because God said that's me. And you've got to have an argument with the man in the mirror. You've got to be willing to have that argument because your mind, your natural eyes are going to say, no, you look the same as you always did and you're getting older and dumber by the minute. Or you can look in the mirror and say, no, I believe what God says about me is true. I am the man he says that I am and I am going to live the life that he says I can have because I choose to believe it and I receive it in Jesus' name. You say, well, that sounds ridiculous. That's what a life of faith is. The same Holy Spirit we're talking about is called also the Spirit of Faith. So if there is a law, we have to keep the law or the promise of God in order to displace, there's a reason the law is there. So we think of a law as it is to prevent us from getting in trouble. With God, the law of the Spirit of Life is there to prevent us from trouble. But if we don't do it, we're not going to be free in anything. See, our own mind can't quite comprehend it. It's why Scripture says spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. When I present this to you, I'm trying to help you understand how to get a hold of this because we have to be doers. To be a doer of the word, I first have to find it, hear it, choose to believe it, then confess it with my mouth. Sometimes it takes a while for the confession to catch up with the man in the mirror's different now. For the presentation, for the outward work. Things don't happen as quick as we want to. We want to give up. There is not a drive-through life of faith. It's a play-by-play every day. and what we choose to do with it. We can choose to not do anything, or we can choose to use our faith in God. For he beholds himself and goes his own way and immediately forgets what kind of man he could have been and reverts back to who he used to be. So we come to identify, we have to identify that new man. He's saved, he's healed, he's blessed. He has the mind of Christ. He has the favor of God on him to succeed in any situation. He has the mind of Christ to know where to invest time and life and where not to. On and on and on. When we're faithful to God's word, he's faithful to us. Verse 25, and this is probably the most important thing to see. Whosoever looks. See, there's personal responsibility. People say, I heard what you said, preacher, and I tried that, and it didn't work. I can tell you what went wrong. They didn't look and get it in their own heart for themselves. They wanted pastors looking to work. Some things don't come easily. See, there's some things, I believe the mercy and grace of God are so great, we just get it so easy because we were in the right place, heard the right thing, and believed it at the right time. But there are other things that constitute a fight of faith that require us ourselves to get in the fight and decide, I am having life change. This is not how I'm going to end. This is not how this chapter in my life book is going to end. I am going to do everything in my power and ability to change this. And your power and ability is what you're going to believe and what you're going to say. Because then it turns on God's power and ability. And he's the power of change. We're just the power of authority. We speak out what's supposed to be according to what God has already said. And I am his child, and I'm going to say what his kid gets, and his kid gets this. The perfect law of liberty. Perfect. He left out good right here. What's that say? God has perfect in mind. Good just means that we didn't quite believe. We couldn't quite see. We couldn't quite, well, I've got this thing in my past. Or my physical body just doesn't cooperate. Or my mind's not as good as it used to be. And all God can do is something good, but not perfect. Now, whoso looks, this is one-on-one, into the perfect law of liberty, that's the scripture. That's God's word. That's what it'll do. It'll set you free. The truth will set you free. Jesus said so. So if we look into it, it's perfect to deliver perfect freedom no matter what is wrong. I believe that. I don't believe there's anything that can go wrong in my life that he doesn't have perfect to fix it. I've just got to look for it. Where is the perfect? Where is the perfect? Sometimes you got to dig for a while. You know, you say, well, pastor, you probably don't have to dig. I dig through the scripture all the time. Why? I don't remember everything in my mind. I remember bits and pieces. So I remember a phrase and think, I need to go find that. Where's that verse? And I'll type in the phrase and 50 verses come up. You know what I do? I go through all 50 to find the one I'm looking for. Why? Because I want perfect for my situation, not semi-perfect or somewhere. You know, I've learned what happens in my mind. If I will somewhere in the scripture, it says, no, I want to find it. I want to turn to it. I want to see who was he talking to right there. Was he talking to believers? If he's talking to believers, that is for me. And then I say, I believe what I'm, and let's read it out loud. I believe that. Whenever I come into difficult season, I've learned to do some of that. Scripture says to keep it before our eyes, to meditate the word in our heart, to mutter, utter, speak, and ponder out of Joshua chapter 1, the word of God. And when we do that, his word infuses us and we are changed. Now, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. What? Yeah, you're getting a look right now. But when you leave here, you've got to continue in it. There's going to be some ministry in the altar today. I already know the kinds of things the Lord's going to do, but you'll have to choose to continue in it. Or you'll walk away and in a week or two you say, well, I don't feel no different. That'll be your fault, not God's fault. And I'll be honest with you, not the preacher's fault either. See, Jesus is the same. Now, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What, he continues in it? He doesn't forget what he heard, and he becomes a doer of the, oh, here's the heart, doer of the work. What? I got to do something? Yeah. A lot of things require work. For example, the doctor gives you a report, you need to lose 100 pounds. He told me that 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, actually. I started praying. The doctor scared me. He said, you'll die young. You're in the most stressful professional occupation in America, being a preacher in an age when they want to get rid of preachers. And he's loving, he's a Christian man. He said, you know, you can pray all you want to, Doug. Prayer isn't going to make you lose 100 pounds. You're going to have to work at it. Now, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit coming upon me or fear coming upon me that I would die early. But according to what he said, I wouldn't have had but a couple years left if I hadn't done what he said. Now, he said that. Fear worked a little bit, but I started to pray. Went right in my bathroom, right in front of the mirror, looked in the mirror, started talking to myself. Said, all right, faith has a role in this. Faith is going to change the way I think. But I'm going to have to change the way my body moves. And I looked in the mirror, said, no more fried food for you ever. Say, really, Pastor? Really? That's how you lose 100 pounds. I looked in the mirror and said, now, Lord, you've been dealing with me to fast. We're teaching on fasting at the church. Jill was in that, teaching that class. I remember I said, oh, dear God. You know, there's Jill, never had an ounce extra on her, probably. You know, and all of you were thinking the same thing, teaching on fasting. But you know what? She did it. She believed it, and God honored it. And I would sit in the back on the piano stool thinking, oh, God. Everybody's going to look and say, is Pastor doing this? And I thought, you know, this has to fit. I said, Lord, what do I do? What would you have me do? He said, no wheat, no sweets, no meat. I did that for 2 weeks a month for 2 years. What did it do? It changed all of my metabolism, where now the same doctor says, you were the healthiest man in my medical practice out of 10,000. Now that, what happened there? That is not my predisposition. My predisposition was to the chocolate chip cookies and anything like that that I wanted in abundance. That was the abundant life for me. That does not work for very long, or something else will become abundant too, see? Now, you could say, well, what was the work was then going to the gym 3 days a week now for 11 years straight, I don't miss. Why? It took radical change, but the Holy Spirit is capable of that, and now I can walk. Now I can do the things that I want to do. Now I feel good all the time. Got little aging things? Yeah, my body's got some age on it, but you know what? It's behaving better than most who have this much age on them. Now I share that because you're not going to get far without the partnership of the Holy Spirit. There is work involved. You want your financial picture to change. I'll pray for you today. I believe the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:27. I believe that's the way God does it. Say, well, how does he do that? You can receive today by faith from the anointing and power of God, but you're going to have to make the right kind of decisions. You might need to enter into some counsel. You might need to find out what it is that's causing you to live without abundance and make changes just as much as I did in the physical realm. For 2 years, I got up every day and everything hurt for 2 years. And I'd go stand in front of the mirror and say, I know you're hurting, body, but you are responding. We are whipping you into shape because you are not going to die early. You're going to live to declare the word of the Lord and live long and be able to do it with strength and energy until your very last day. And that's how it's going to be. Now, it took time. Getting out of financial bondage will take some time. It'll take some doing. You might want to find out what are the right kinds of decisions. To make family life better, that's the third big area, our health, our money, our family, and I've kind of got them arranged backward. They're right on my paper, but, you know, I flip things in my mind. Family. What does God want family to be? A house of joy, a house of liberty. Well, how do you do that, Pastor, and not have constant chaos? Liberty comes from doing God's word. It doesn't come by having more rules. The rules you want will be the promises of God to keep. And if a family focuses on keeping the promises of God, family life gets enhanced. It gets better. The dynamic improves. The value system becomes centered on the promise of God instead of the wrath of God. the promise of keeping mom and dad happy instead of the wrath when you don't obey. Causing obedience to be tied to a higher God instead of a natural man. Most people will rebel to a person telling them directly what they need to do, except for the wise one. Well, Scripture says that wisdom is not yet in the heart of a child. So where's wisdom got to be? In mom and daddy. Saying, here's how we're going to navigate. Here's how we're going to live. And it's more positive than negative. It's more proactive than reactive. It's centered on the promise of God in the New Testament, the law of liberty, instead of the law of sin and death before Jesus came. Not threatening them with, you're going to get a whipping or your keys taken away or we're going to do this to you if you don't. Blah, blah, blah. You just keep trying that. You're teaching kids to think that's what authority is like when it comes from God, and that's not God at all. Jesus took all of that on the cross so our approach could be different. Yes, he wants parents to carry on a discipline. Scripture says that if you're going to serve in the body of Christ anywhere, that you keep family in order. Well, you know as well as I do. You want to interpret that lawishly and say, but I can't control what my kids can do. No, he doesn't mean control. He means sharing what the Word says to honor God. That's order. Not everybody chooses to be complicit to order all the time. But when you present God's standard, order begins to come and begins to increase because the Word of God has supernatural power in it. More than mama and daddy can do on their own. More than grandma and grandpa can do on the weekend when they're trying to change the values of those. You change the values of those kids by doing what the Word says. How do you love them into obedience? Different way of thinking, isn't it? See, in our heart, we are acting on one law or the other. The law of sin and death, the Old Testament way, or the law of the Spirit of life with the Holy Spirit's help in our every situation. He wants us to depend on Him. Some word will lead you to more work than others. Some promises are going to take more work than others. I love it that he used the word work here so that we would have a reality check. I see so many Christians that are looking for a magic batch of scriptures to use to get their way. We're never going to get our way. We're going to get God's way. His word leads to His way, and His way is higher than our way. So whenever we start insisting on our own way, He thinks we're crazy. He knows we haven't renewed our mind. He knows we don't understand. He told us the way that we're to go. And he said to walk in it. He said to do it. Why? He knows it's going to lead us into blessing. He knows it's going to give us what we ultimately want and need without the sorrow. Through the work into the liberty. What's the liberty look like? You have to define that. For some folks, liberty would be enough to lose 50 pounds. I remember getting there. Thinking that's great, and then holding, shaking that belly around, thinking, 50 more pounds, how on earth will I do it? Seemed like I'm killing myself to get to this point. I had to make more changes and more decisions and different kind of commitment. Took a few more Excedrins during that time frame too. You say, really? Yeah, everything hurt all the time. So I've got to overcome the pain. Why? I was a little bit old to be trying to do what I was doing. Now, I'm just sharing a reality moment. Some of the things you want from God take a lot more work. Think about it this way. You're really doing it to reveal God's word works. Because He wants you to have it. Now, this is 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. What Spirit? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where He isn't liberty. Where He isn't, we get into bondage. Say, how do I change that? Embrace Him. Embrace Him as a person. He's not waiting for you to be fixed. He's waiting for you to call on Him to help fix it. He wants to be the help in it. He wants to be the partner. He wants to be the one you depend on and call on for help. Say, well, how do you do that? I pray in the Holy Spirit a lot. I will speak God's word that I know, and sometimes I don't know enough like I'd want to know, so I just start praying, Holy Spirit, pray through me. And I begin to pray in the Spirit. Why? Oh, he recognizes that language. That's heaven talk. He recognizes, oh, this is a citizen of heaven. He's calling me alongside to help him. He wants supernatural results, and he deserves it because Jesus gave his life for this guy. So Jesus made him righteous. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a problem with whether you're good enough or not. Jesus was good enough. So when you start praying, he comes. He'll come regardless of how many 25,000 mistakes you made. I remember standing in front of the mirror that one day thinking, how many cheeseburgers, double cheeseburgers, an extra large order of fries did I eat all those years I was traveling on the road? Just got bigger and bigger and bigger. How did I let myself do that? I wasn't calling on my helper. Didn't think I needed to. You usually like, well, I'm just a big bone tall person. My family are big people. Why? I didn't really want the liberty bad enough to pursue the person of liberty. See, God's not limited by the trouble we're in. He's limited when we don't want him to come alongside and help us. Jesus died for the ability to have full access to every part of our life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That doesn't mean you will not have challenges. It means that if you do, you are coming out of them. You are seeing yourself coming out of them. You are not having to diminish your standard of hope. You're not having to think, well, it'll never change. We're going to give up. Or I can't regroup yet again a career path. Or I got into chemicals 30 years ago, so I'm just always going to be disabled. Is that what you want to believe? I had a back injury many years ago. I don't have time to tell the story, but I had to make the decision. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I started speaking God's word out of my mouth, first in anger. I was upset. I was angry. God, how could you let us buy a farm and this big house and then my back go out? How could you? Then I realized it had nothing to do with how he could. It had everything to do with the enemy got in there. Why? I needed the Spirit of Liberty to come set me free out of that bad situation because I was in a bad situation. So I could meditate on what was wrong, get upset and pray about what was wrong. Or I could say, Holy Spirit, come be my helper and change my programming. Change the way I think. Help me speak the right things out of my mouth. Then there was the work of getting out off the couch and being able to stand up. Then there was the work of learning how to walk again. Then there was the work of holding the walker and going up and down the driveway, a half a mile to the road. It took me weeks before I could go a half a mile. Then I had to call on the phone, come get me, I can't make it back. Weeks and weeks and weeks and months, worked at home for months, out of my home on laptop computers trying to run a company. Say, well, why didn't God just miraculously do? He said there'd be work. Now, I love it when I get to receive something and there's no work. But I'm going to tell you, it's been kind of rare in my life. I mean, there's people like that. They just can pray and it shows up on their doorstep. I've not had a lot of that. The few moments it's happened, I thought, sure, they got the right house? I got to go look at it and see what it is, see if they got the right house, you know? Why? I'm used to having to invest. Why? God wants to change our mind about him, so we're ready to receive, and so we can live a life of victory and not just say out of our mouth, well, I'm living the life of faith. The life of faith increases in liberty. That's how you know it's really a life of faith. It doesn't increase the bondage. It doesn't increase the sorrow. It isn't just working harder to have something. It's letting God move in the way he does things where he is bringing about the good. I know that's what you want. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to close the service in just a moment. But if today there's something hounding your family and you want to see increased liberty, I want to pray with you. And when we open the altar to pray, if you want to come as couples for your family, you can. But tell me if you're here for family, financial reasons and financial liberty that needs to be freed up, or health. Those are our three areas, and they're pretty comprehensive. They're pretty big. But Jesus died and rose again to change our life forever in all of those areas. That's a big part of your life and time and energy and ambition, and God wants to do it. And I'm going to tell you today particularly, I shared the health things for you to know. God's into fixing desperate situations. The hardest part of the work was getting God's word back in my heart the way it needed to be. I've been really, really busy, and the seed of that word was in me, but I hadn't been saying it enough. I got real convicted. I need to say the word of God, because that's where my hope comes from. And I started changing what I was saying. People call me on the phone. The owner of the company called me on the phone. How are you doing today? I'm doing better every day. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you walk right in here in the next few days. And they go, that's better. Okay, wonderful, great. Why? Everybody wants to be optimistic when they need a piece of you, okay? So what I do? Let the Holy Spirit do the work. That's a process. I wish I had it on film. I had somebody say to me this week, Pastor, people just don't really believe that when you tell, they can't imagine. Oh, you just need to imagine. Imagine whatever your biggest place of need is right now in your life. And probably you live in a way to deal with the handicap and put up with it. So maybe people don't know. Let God in there today. He wants to bring increasing liberty to families and couples. He wants to increase liberty in the financial arena. And what I mean by that is just not to give you more. He wants to make you more of a giver than a taker. He wants to change the way you think about Him moving in your life. He wants to supernaturally move to deal with debt where all the natural doing is not going to be enough. He wants to do what will He do? He'll speak to your heart. And when you begin to say His word, He'll begin to help you supernaturally navigate your life. Understand, the word of God has supernatural all in it. The supernatural power of God is revealed to you and released in your life through His word. It's not going to come another way. It's going to come because either you or somebody spoke God's word. Today, for some of you, just my saying it stirred hope in your heart to get a hold of God for something. How do I know that? It's a word of faith that we preach around here. Why? If there's not some special move of God and an anointing, you receive it by faith. You know, there have been some things I've enjoyed. People prayed for me and I felt the power of God and it stirred my heart, but those situations have been few. Most of what I receive from God, I receive by faith. I call it just the old-fashioned way. Just believe on Jesus. Say, Jesus, I come to you as my Lord. If anybody can do it, you can do it. So I know you're going to do this. I know that your word says you've already done it for me. And I speak that word and I choose to believe it in my heart. And I hear some people say, well, there's no harm in trying that. You try it, you'll fail. You believe Him, you'll prevail. That's what you need to understand. When it comes to health in the body, today there are many things on my heart. I know that there are a number of things happening in the body. Pastor, you know, Pastor and Lucinda, we pray. Other people are praying. But there are moments like this that are meant to stir your faith at the deepest level to recognize with God all things are possible to the one who believes.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.